Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host. And Holy Spirit is our overseer. Glory to God. We are a Bible-believing ministry that's teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of this sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let us go into worship.
Love is so fine. Love is not for full of empty.
Love you I worship you. Hey!
God's Resurrection Public Church of Christ Ministry. We are back up. We are able to set up the post. We have the audio back up this morning, so we are excited about that. Hallelujah. The Lord is so good. I keep hitting them all the time. I guess they get tired of me sending them messages every couple hours, but we thank God. We are so excited about this morning. We are going to do another part of this topic. The Lord has taken us a place and showed us some things last night and this morning that is just going to be a blessing to us. If we hear it and receive it, it's going to be a blessing to us all. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this morning. Thank you for the bishop, the apostle, the evangelist. Thank you for the deacon and all those that are coming on the line, those that are listening by way of Blog Talk, satellite system, iPad, telephone, however they're listening. We got some messages yesterday from Kenya, from Africa. They want to know what's going on, that they weren't getting any messages because it was not able to post it. But thank God we were able to post some this morning. And we will pour some more later when we get off. Let's go into the Word of God. It's the Word of God that we need, not my talking. So, Father, we ask you to bless this Word, bless my eyes, my ears, my lips. And God, as I decrease this morning, I ask you, Father, to increase. I plead with you this morning to increase in me, God, that it will be none of me but all of you. And Father, if I speak a word that not come from these 66 books or from you by your Spirit, to my spirit, God, cause my tongue to cleave to the roof of my mouth and never let me speak another word. For my only objective is to glorify your name, edify your body, and terrify the devil. In Jesus' holy name we pray. We pray this morning for Apostle Millie Jefferson, oh God. We pray for her strength, Lord. We miss her so much, Lord. We miss her. Coming in with her down home little antics that she puts in the message to just make her smile and the way she delivers, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you bring her back to the line, Lord, that she find time to get away and come on into the gate that you have prepared for her to enter, Lord, that she can strengthen her skills, sharpen her skills, oh God. Thank you for the Apostle Washington and Bishop Washington, who are so, oh God, so tenacious to be here with us every chance they get, even with the storms and the crevices that they have to go through and fill in. We thank you for them, Lord, and we don't take their presence lightly, Lord God. We give them honor as your servants, O God. You said to give honor to where honor is due. Thank you for Deacon Fraser, your brother Deacon, for his faithfulness to the kingdom. Lord, we ask you to strengthen him, God. Help him to let go of the things that bother him and cling to the things that would help him to grow stronger, Lord, to you, Lord. And we'll give you glory and honor, and we'll give you praise, Jesus, all the days of our lives. Here we go into this text. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 44. Let's go to Ezekiel 44. We're going to jump about a little bit today as the Lord has shown us some things. Ezekiel 44. That's got a scripture here this morning in 1 Corinthians, but we'll do that later. Ezekiel 44. Come on up. Glory to God. We'll come up with the New Living Translation for a little bit, then we'll go to the King James, and we'll see what the Lord is saying. Here in this book, we're going to talk about the glory. After we have repented and we have turned to the Lord and we have given the Lord full access to our hearts, we will be able to see the glory of the Lord. We're going to see that as I go through. You'll be able to see, experience the true glory of the Lord. You know, a lot of times people say, well, the glory is here, the glory is there, but truly there's no glory. Really, what's there is just a motivational emotions are there. You know, because the people have not repented and turned to the Lord for his grace to be upon them. The people come in with a mindset that we can come in and we can exercise our gifts while we are exercising some gifts that we pick up from this church or that church. We are not experiencing the glory of the Lord. And the Lord laid it on my heart last night. So I had to go in there and he began to show me some things. After we have repented and we give the Lord access. See, the Lord is not going to come into my heart unless I give him access. As powerful as he is, as awesome as he is, as mighty as he is, he's not going to enter. He's not going to break that thing that he has given me called the will. He's not going to come beyond my will. He's not going to come beyond my choice. I have to make the choice. Minister on there, Minister on Saturday, that we are God's chosen. Well, he chose us, but also even as he chose us, he has given us a will, a choice that we can make. So that's why you hear some people say, well, I'm not going to do that. I'll do this, but I'm not going to do that, because they're making a choice. They're making a choice that, well, I'm not going to church today. I don't want to fellowship today. I'll fellowship tomorrow. Tomorrow may not ever get here for them. You understand? Every chance, I told the Lord, every chance I get, I want to praise him. Every chance I get, I want to worship him. Every chance I get, I want to say hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen. So here, let's start at verse 1. You know I like to start. Okay, let's see what this says. He said, chapter 44, Ezekiel. I tell you, I want you to follow me. You're going to see some things in these books. This book, Ezekiel, is so powerful. You know, I've studied it, but never really, not really go into it and digest it. You know, sometimes you eat some meat, you eat some chicken or some fish. Oh, thank you, Reverend Deacon. You eat some stuff, but you never spend time to really digest it. You go to the table, you eat so fast, and you say, I'm full, honey, I don't need any more. But if you sit down and take your time, oh, my God, take your time and just go eat the food. I mean, easy, not rushing. You get to taste all the ingredients, all the spices start to come alive on your tongue. You begin to taste all the spices. Hallelujah, glory to God. Well, it's the same way with the Word of God. That's why the Bible don't say read, it says study, because then you're reading, you're going from page to page to page to page, you're just flushing through. But when you study, you're going over, you're digesting. Now the Word begin to come alive, begin to come off the paper, you begin to see things that you haven't seen before. I used to always read the Bible so fast and try to see how much chapters I can get in so I can test somebody. You know, I read 14 chapters last night. I said, wow, you read 14 chapters? I read 20 chapters yesterday. And you know, they would say, and I was feeling like I pushed my chest up, like I did something important. But most of the times when I run through 14, 15, 20 chapters, I remember very little. because I was reading, running through, because I'm trying to tell him, because I want to get so much, I want to go through so much pages so I can tell somebody, no, I did 4 books, man. I've did 4 books, 40 chapters, you know, but I haven't got anything. But when I begin to sit at the table and looking over the verse and going over the verse and going over the verse, oh, my God, go over the next verse, go over the next verse. The thing began to come alive, and I began to weep, and I said, Lord, I never seen that before. And you know what the Lord said? He said, because you have not taken time. You have not taken time. You have not sit down with me and speak to me. He said, let us sit down and reason together. Come, let us reason together. We have not sit down and reasoned with the Lord. We just run through the word. And God wants us to sit down, and he wants us to study the word. So this morning, we're going to go, and we're going to study this morning as we do part five of the covenants, the broken covenants. Here in the bit, listen carefully, because I want you to really pay attention to what God is saying to this man of God, to this prophet. He says, it's to the prince, the Levites and the priests. And he says, then the man brought me. Remember we talked about that yesterday? The man that brought Ezekiel and brought him to the water, to the river. And he began to walk, and as he walked back and forth, how the water began to get higher and higher and higher till they couldn't walk through the water because the water was too high, but they could swim. And then when they got up, they walk along the banks of the river, and they begin to see these trees and all this fruits, the trees are full of fruits and all this stuff is happening. Hallelujah, because God is bringing a refreshing. The rivers turn from salt, Dead Sea, to living water. Hallelujah, glory to God. This is what God will do. He'll renew us anytime that we get to a place of true repentance. I'm not saying repentance because the bishop said come to the table. I'm not saying repentance because the prophet says come to the table. I'm saying when you feel it inside your heart that you know that you have been living a life for so long and you come to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I need you to come on in, Lord, and change me from the inside out, creating me a clean heart and renew a right spirit, Lord. Lord, break me into pieces and put me back together, Lord. Lord, I feel like I'm in pieces already. God will come on and fix you up. He'll take the broken pieces and make the map that he needs to use. He said, then the man brought me back to the east gate. We went through some gates yesterday in the book of Ezekiel and through the books that we used yesterday, Daniel and Revelation and Isaiah and so on, Exodus. We went through some gates in Genesis. Today we're going to go through some more gates. He said, then the man brought me back to the east gateway in the outer way wall of the temple, area, but it was closed. And the Lord said to me, this gate must remain closed. We know he said that he'll open doors that no one can close and close doors that no one can open. He says to Daniel, the Lord said, not the man, the Lord said to Daniel, that this gate must remain closed. It will never again be opened. No one will ever open it and pass through it. For the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered here. Therefore, it must always remain shut. See, sometimes we want to go places. We want to go places that the Lord don't want us to go. And the Lord has to set up angels. Sometimes we feel that we want, what's hindering me from going? But the Lord has set up angels so we can't pass back through there. We want to go back into that old lifestyle that we've been living. Because we start to remember how we were, it seemed like we were having a good time. But for real, we weren't having a good time. The flesh was being satisfied, but there was nothing happening for the spirit. The spirit man was not enveloping in anything that grows, that causes it to grow and glorify God. So God does not want us to go back to those places and see those people and places and things. We have to learn how to hear the voice of God and know that God is leading them and God is directing. He says only the prince himself may sit inside this gateway to feast in the Lord's presence, but he may come and go only through the entry room of the gateway. See, the man, the prince now, he can come on in. He can come on in and go in. Why? Because now God's saying he is the Holy One. He's the one reverencing God. He is spending time with God, quality time. We want God to do so much and God to pour into us so much, but we don't want to spend the time. We don't want to give up a sacrifice a sacrificial offering of our time. We think that long as we go to the church and we write a big check, we think it's okay. I know a guy used to come to the church here in Boston, and I did some work for him. I put a heating system in his garage because he was a race car driver, and he wanted to, when he's working on his car, he had a nice car, had a BMW, he had a 4x4 truck, and then he had a sports car, a special racing car, you know, with the big numbers and all that stuff on it. And he wanted heat in the garage. So he said, can you do this? Apostle said, yeah, this is no problem. He got a boiler. You know, so I can tap into the boiler lines and bring to a hot water, return the hot water supply. And we'll put a couple of radiators inside there for you. And we did it for him. But he would write big checks. I mean big checks. When we go to India, he would raise $15,000, $30,000 to send the people, help the people go to India. And he would write these big checks to the church, but he wasn't living. He wasn't living the life. And the pastor never told him. He was having sex with a lot of girls in the church. A lot of girls, because everybody thought he was divorced. And you know, he was a nice-looking guy, handsome man. And he drive the race car and had all these fancy vehicles and not had a big, nice, fancy house. And the pastor wouldn't tell him, never bring him correction. So we had a form in this house we had, in this house that we were worshiping. We had a form. Pastor was a good teacher. He's a good teacher, but he wouldn't bring no correction. So you have people hearing a good teaching word, and they're dying and going to hell from the church because the people doing the same thing. Because they say, well, pastor don't worry. Pastor not worry, but we doing this and doing that. Pastor don't worry that we still go to the club. Pastor don't mind. He don't mind that we go Saturday night, and then we can't come to church on Sunday morning because we were too, got a hangover. So he was having all this stuff. And you can't tell him nothing because the pastor loved him. He was giving good money. But why you let a man or woman go to hell when God give you the instructions? God said, don't go through the door anymore. I closed that door. No. Then he said, then the man brought me, verse 4, then the man brought me through the north gateway to the front of the temple. I looked and saw that the glory of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord, and I fell face down on the ground. See where you listen to what God is saying. Let's go back to verse 3. He said, only the prince himself may sit inside this gateway to feast at the Lord in the Lord's presence. But he may come and go only through the entry room of the gateway. Then the man brought me through the north gateway to the front of the temple. I saw that the glory of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord. And I fell face down on the ground. See, when we are obedient to God, I told you, when we are obedient to God, when we have gone to that place that we have given God complete access to our heart, to our soul, to our mind, to our body, God will allow us to experience the true glory, not this motivational stuff that you see going on. People jumping over here and jumping over there and rolling here and rolling there. You'll experience this. The Bible said that when Solomon finished praying back over there in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, she's telling me she wants to go. When Solomon finished praying over there, said 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1, somewhere there, he said that when Solomon finished praying, that the glory filled the temple. It filled the house of the Lord. And not even the priests and none of those people could enter, and nobody can go in because of the glory of the Lord. You see, when we get to this place of true repentance, and we give God access, complete access to who we are, and then we'll be able to receive who he is. But a lot of time we are playing this motivational teaching and preaching, and we're jumping over the place and rolling over the place and all this stuff because we want to impress this preaching and that singing, that organ play, that we can sing so well and we can dance so well and we can do all these things that we want the people to see. Hallelujah, glory to God. But God said, no. They don't have the power. They don't have the authority to open the door. They don't have the power to even close the door. He said, I do.
He said, what I need is access to your heart, and you got to give me access. You got to give me access. Man, we got to give him. God has all power and all authority, but he's not going to take access. He wants us to freely give him the access. Give him the access freely. And then he'll come into our heart, and we'll be able to experience the true glory of God. Hallelujah, glory to God. So God is here. He's shown Ezekiel all this stuff. When Ezekiel experienced the glory, Ezekiel fell on his face because the glory was so awesome. It's so awesome. You can't stand up in the glory and just thinking that. No, when the glory comes, it'll break you down. You start weeping, you start crying, you start, oh my God, snorting and all type of stuff, because the glory of God is so awesome. You can't stand up in the glory and say, I'm just going to stay here. No, you can't stay there. You're going to fall out. You're going to go. Ain't nobody got to lay hands on you and push you on the ground and slap you on top of your head. Now they come. When the glory comes, it takes you right out. I tell you, it takes you right out. I remember when I was in Africa and the glory came. When the glory came, the Lord told me I was on the altar. He said, don't lay hands on nobody. He said, I'm going to do the laying. He said, just lay back. And he laid me down on the altar. I was laying on the altar in my robe. And the Holy Ghost was all over me. And I started getting sounds from heaven. Never experienced that before. I started getting songs from heaven. And I started singing the songs I was getting, the lyrics I was getting from heaven. And the keyboard player, he and I never rehearsed nothing. But both of us was in sync because it was the glory of God that was doing it. Hallelujah. But listen to this. He said, and the Lord said to me, son of man, take careful notice. Use your eyes and ears and listen to everything I tell you about the regulations concerning the Lord's temple. Take careful note of the procedures for using the temple entrance and exit. Listen. People are running in and running out and doing all of these things, Apostle. I've seen it in houses that I've been in worship here in Boston. They let the grandkids and the great grandkids and the sons and daughters run all over the altar. But he told Ezekiel, take notice. Use your eyes and ears. This is paying attention. You're listening or hearing and you're seeing. We have to have some order in God's house. He said, take careful note. Pay attention to the procedures for using the temples, entrance and exit. How people come in and how they go. Pay attention. Hallelujah. We want to see the glory. We don't just want to hear a story. We want to see the glory. The glory is what all of us should be living to see, to experience the glory of God. See, when we get to see him at the day of reckoning, the day of judgment, we'll see him as he is. The Bible says so. We'll see the full glory, the manifestation of who this great Jesus, this supreme sovereign God is. This is what we're living for. So how are we going to get there? We got to empty ourselves. If we want to see the glory, we got to get all the loose chains out. I call it that. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Bishop, we got to get rid of the loose chains. The loose chains out of our spirit, man. We got to get rid of the loose chains. That thing that we're trying to hold on to that we need to let go of. That old Mary, we got to let go. Hallelujah. How fine she was. How nice she was. In my memory, I got to get rid of it. Got to let it go. He said, and give these rebels, the people of Israel, listen to what he called them. See, when you become a detestable thing in the sight of God, he called you a rebel. When you become disobedient, hallelujah, he called you a rebel. He called back in the book of Matthew, then he called them priests and those Pharisees and Sadducees, he called them dogs and vipers. God don't have no time. He don't have no excuse to call him to rebuke him. He ain't afraid of that. He don't care how big they think they are. He'll just put it on them. He called him that. If you ever see the movie, when the man played Jesus, he called him dogs and vipers. They want to hit him, but they couldn't hit him. But, you know, he just slipped through the crowd. They thought they could just grab him. It wasn't his time. He says, oh, my God. You got to pay attention. He said, and give these rebels, the people of Israel, this message from the sovereign Lord. All people of Israel, enough of your detestable sins. See, we don't want to talk about it, Apostle. Not us on this blog talk radio. Because we talk about sin all the time, not the people's sin. He told Ezekiel to tell them about this detestable sin. Let me look at it in the King James Version. I'm looking in the NLT, New Living Translation. Let me look in the King James. So I got three Bibles here. Let me see here. Glory to God. Oh, my God, my God. Verse 6. Let me see what it looks like. And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations. In other words, let all your abominations do for you what you expect. God is tired. I hear Brother Deacon says, God is sick and tired of people playing Russian roulette inside his house. Acting like because the pastor, the bishop, the evangelist, the teacher don't see them, that it's okay for them to do the thing that they're doing, that is abomination in the sight of God. Because we don't want to preach against sin. We don't want to talk about sin in the house of the Lord. Because if we talk about sin, people don't want to come. Why they all God? Why they always got to preach about sin? Every time I go to the church, they talk about sin. Well, if you don't get to know that what you're doing is sin, you're going to end up in hell. Then you get before God, and he starts to question you. Everything is written down. Good and bad is written down. He said you're going to be judged according to the good things and the bad things. What you do, righteous and unrighteous. Holy and unholy. So if we don't talk about the good and the bad, what happens? You're going to think that everything you're doing is good. We see how the world is doing right now. The world is doing things and they think that what they're doing is bad. They tell you they don't even want to, they don't want you to preach certain things now in the church. Because people got 501c. They're depending on the government with tax exempt. And now the government is putting spies in the churches. You haven't seen that yet. It's going to get worse. Let's go to verse 7 in the NLT. You have brought uncircumcised foreigners into my sanctuary. People who have no heart for God. Listen to God. God speaking. Hear what he says to Ezekiel. Give Ezekiel sound doctrine, sound instructions. The problem is today that most people don't want to hear sound doctrine. They don't want to get instructions. They don't want correction, but they want to grow. We say without correction, there's no growth. They don't want no correction. Apostle, they don't want you to correct them. They get mad with you. When you say certain things, they want fancy messages. I want the Bible. You can keep your fancy message. I don't need no fancy message. Give me the Bible. When you go to the court, the judge don't want to hear nothing about what you, all the other stuff you're talking about, all that yin yang. He wants to hear about the case. The case is in the book. It's on paper. That's what he wants to hear about. God is telling him all that stuff. He wants to hear that you follow his instructions. He told Ezekiel. So this is what the sovereign Lord says. This is what I want you to say, Ezekiel. No foreigners, including those who live among the people of Israel, will enter my sanctuary. Listen to what he says. Let's go back to verse 7. You have brought uncircumcised foreigners into my sanctuary, people who have no heart for God. In this way, you defile my temple even as you offer me my food. The fat and blood of sacrifices, in addition to all your other detestable sins, you have broken my covenant. See it? I'm talking about the broken covenants. We break God's covenant when we don't do what God says. The covenant is in the word. We have to be obedient to every jot and every tittle. We can pick and choose what we want to follow, what we want to obey. Lord, I hope I can get through with this message today. This message is cutting me too. He said, instead of safeguarding my sacred rituals, you have hired foreigners to take charge of my sanctuary. We allow everybody, any everybody come in the house. And we, when they come in the house, we don't release the message that convict them. We are so happy to see them in the house. We forget and we exclude the instructions of the Lord. Yes, come the way you are. You're the cocaine user. You're the methamphetamine user. You're the, narcotics user. You like to drink. You like to fornicate. Oh, you just like to sin. Well, come on. But when you come in the house, I'm not going to give you a slice of banana bread and some juice. I'm going to give you some word about sin. So when you leave there, you can be mad at me and talk about me as much as you like. Then you leave here, the word of sin, about sin, is going to convict your heart. Because the Holy Spirit going to use that same sickle that he put in my belly, that same two-edged sword that he put in my belly, he's going to use to cut us. Not just you, us, all of us. I know this is no jumping messages. I'm not looking for no hallelujah. All I'm trying to do is get this recorded because I know now I'm able to post, and I couldn't post for 3 days. For 3 days, there was on the back that started some machine or something down there in New York, New Jersey was broken. Something with a satellite system, but they got it up. They got everything, all the stuff back together now. Glory to God. Here, we got to talk against sin. That's why I tell people that come and say, well, you people, you Christian people got your homophobic, you don't like the homosexual. No, I don't hate the homosexual. Well, the lesbian might say this, the fornicator, the adultery might say I don't like them, or the guy who steals them say I don't like them. That's not true. I love them all. Jesus loves you all. I love what God loves, and I hate what God hates. God hates sin, but he loves the people. If he didn't love me, I would still be out there because I was living in sin. I was the chief overseer for sin. When I was in the world. And God loved me when I was in the sin. Why wouldn't I love people that are sinning? But I don't love the sin. And I want to tell them that there's a way out of sin. And the way out of sin is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and his life. No one can come to the Father except through him. Some folks still think they're going to heaven while they're still sinning. Because somebody don't tell them that if they sin, they shall die. The soul that sinned shall die. Somebody won't tell them, Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4. Is in the Bible. The soul that sinned, he said, all souls are his. Got to remember that. Oh, even the sin of my soul. He said, but the soul that sinned, it shall die. Don't get mad at me. God says so. He loves that sinner, but he don't love the sin. And he can't allow sin to enter through the door. You hear what he said in the book here? When he closed that door, no sinner can go through that door. Only the righteous. That's why the prince could go in and sit in the room. That's why the prince can go and sit in the room. You're a prince of God. First and second Peter say that. You're a prince of a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. A peculiar people. You can go in the room because you're living the life. But if you're not living the life, don't fool yourself. Go and repent. Don't fool yourself and go to hell. Go and repent. I mean, truly repent. Stop doing what you've been doing. That's going to hinder you from going in. I'm still talking about broken covenant. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you for Apostle Millie. I don't know why she just come in my spirit right there. Lord, I thank you for her sister. Father, just heard it so plainly. Pray for her. Lord, I ask you right now, God, to touch her sister. God, it should be end of the chemotherapy and all this stuff they're doing to her body. Father, she needs your strength. You said while she's weak, she'll be strong in you. You are strong. Lord, I ask right now that you move through that place, the room, if she's home or if she's at the hospital, at the doctor's office. God, you move through there like a tornado with healing in your wings, God. And just wrap her in your wings, God. Cause that sickness, that tumor, whatever it is there, the cells that they took out, block it. Close the door to the cells that they would not be able to rejuvenate themselves. And we'll be careful to give you glory in Jesus' name. Now back in the Word, back in the Word. See, we watch the people that we allow to come into God's house. It's all right, they're coming in. But don't let them stay. Keep coming and staying the same way and doing the same thing. You've got to get on the pulpit and you've got to pray and speak about sin. The world is getting terrible, very terrible. The Bible says that we in these days is perilous times. Hallelujah, people do not care. But just because they don't want to care, that don't mean that we should shut our mouth. Oh, they don't want to hear the gospel. Don't shut your mouth and say, well, we're going to play the dig-dig music. We want to play dig-dig music, draw them. All they're coming to do is dance. That's all they want to do. They want to dance. After the dance, they want to go. No, you got to have the gospel going forth with fire. Fire. He told Ezekiel, have to tell the people, the sovereign Lord, the one that's higher than high. The one that sits high and sees low, the one that's above everything, everything is beneath him, to tell him this. He said, and the man, listen to what he says, glory to God. He gave them a charge. And he said to them, and the men of the tribe of Levi, who abandoned me, when Israel strayed away from me to worship idols, must bear the consequences of their unfaithfulness. When we walk away from God, it's not a, you're not going to just escape. So I said, you know, we want to go in and go out how we feel like. One day we're in the church and one day we're in the world. Because my friend says it's time for me to get along. So I'm not going to church on Saturday. I don't want to hear no type of gospel. I'm going to the club. Friday night, Saturday, I'm in the club because I got to let my hair down. People come by the house and say, man, you ain't been to the club in a long time. Gary, you're way off. Why are you going to keep saying, well, going to the church? You know, this is what the devil does and make you feel guilty because you haven't been to the club in a long time and your girlfriend, your boyfriend you haven't seen in a while going to come by the house. And we going to have guys out night out tonight. I don't get that anymore. I know a lot of us on the line, we don't hear that stuff anymore because nobody will come and tell us that dumb stuff. But that's what they used to do. We going to have girls out on the town. I have some, my sister like this, just cross over. She'll tell me, she said, no, I got to go with the girls. The girls, she used to tell me, she said, Pastor, I got to go with the girls this weekend. But you got to remember, we got to remember who we are, whose we are. When the devil come with that stupid stuff, slap him in his mouth. Say, leave, devil. Do what Jesus did to him. Quote the scriptures to him. Tell him straight up, I don't need that stuff anymore. I'm a royal priesthood. He says, no, watch, he says, glory to God, listen one time. Okay. He says, there may still be temple gods and gatekeepers. And there may slaughter the animals brought for burnt offerings to present to help the people. But they encourage my people to worship idols, causing Israel to fall into deep sin. So I have taken a solemn oath that they must bear the consequence for their sins, says the sovereign God. God make a promise. That's what oath is, a promise. He made a solemn promise. If we continue in sin, we got to pay. There's the consequences. What do you want? God to keep whipping us? He's given us a chance to start new. The chance is Calvary. The blood that was shed at Calvary. Hallelujah. The nail-pierced hands, the nail-pierced feet. The crown, the spears in his side, the stripes on his back, giving us a chance to start over. How much are we going to keep starting over? That's what I've got to ask. He closed the door to sin. Why do we still want to go back in the door and go in? He said, I'm closing doors that no one can open. And I'm opening doors that no one can close. We still want to go back and forth. I'm going to have to do a part six of this, I believe. God, I got to stop this. I want to get on this chapter because, but it is so powerful. I'm telling you, God is speaking so clear. Oh, my God. They encourage you. You know, folk come to you. My sister used to say, I seen her going to this place and going to that place, and they're smoking ganja and drinking. And they said, they're twerking. You're a priest in the kingdom, and you're twerking. Then the aunt said, looking at your behind and got your breast coming out their cups. You're supposed to be a servant, an ambassador of God. You're a man, got them tight old them, better put your pants on. Tight old pants like you are from the ghetto. You are a minister of the gospel. God says, you're being deceived, people. Listen to what he says. And simply what God says. They may not approach me to minister as priest. Hear what God says. After God take a solemn oath in verse 12 that they should bear the consequence for their sins, says the sovereign God. And then he said, they may not approach me. We can't let everybody go behind the pulpit. Paul says, we cannot allow everybody because I'm set to tell that here's a prophet or here's a priest. Can't let him go behind the pulpit. You can't let him go behind the pulpit. That's why we need the spirit of discernment. We need to be able to see what's going on in the spirit realm. What people are doing when we are not with them, God will speak to us. If we're living right, God will show you stuff. Oh, you know folk would be talking out the side of the neck when they're in your presence, but behind your back, they cut you up. God will let you see. He'll let you hear in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, this is what God says, the sovereign Lord says, they may not approach him to minister as priests. You remember Aaron and his sons after Moses made the garments for them, how God had given him the schematic, the plan, the blueprint to build the robes and stuff for Aaron and his sons. He said that they may come and minister to him first before they minister to the congregation. Do you know when we are ministering, we are ministering to God first? God is looking at our hearts, and if our hearts are not right, God is not even receiving the worship from our hearts, from our mouth. That's what he says. They may not minister to, as priests. They may not touch any of my holy things or the holy offerings, for they must bear the shame of all the detestable sins, abominations they have committed. See, because somebody coming to say that they are this or they are that, no, you got to discern that stuff. You wonder why there's so much contamination. Because we're not discerning. They are to serve as the temple caretakers, taking charge of the maintenance work and performing general duties. You know, most of them, they're not going to stay around. Because they want to come and talk to God's people. When they defile temples, they want to come and talk to God's people. But God said they must not do it. They must not be allowed to do that. That's one of the things that we as preachers, we got to see this thing. Everybody can't come and preach. You don't see everybody come jumping on Blog Talk Radio. When I pick up on this word, they're not going to preach on Blog Talk Radio. You know that. So this is God's ministry. This is not David Callen's ministry. Let's jump back to chapter 43. Hallelujah. 43. And listen to what God says. And you remember we just read. This is where the glory comes. Okay? This is where the glory comes. When we get the house in order, and the house in order starts with us, not the building, us. We are the house of God. We go to the building. We bring the house to the building, okay? And we are the church house of God. So when we repent and we turn from worshiping idols and doing all this stuff, idolistic stuff that we do. We worship the car. We worship the Rolex watch. We worship a husband, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a house, and all this stuff, the swimming pool. All those things become idols from time to time. He said, when we repent for them things and we don't put them things before him, now we can come. We can come and come to him and bring the worship, bring the praise, bring the sacrifice. And he'll let us experience the glory. Listen to what he says. Chapter 43 of Ezekiel. We're talking about broken covenants. Not one covenant, because you know Israel didn't just broke one covenant. Every time God forgave them, they break another covenant. They went back into sin, idol worship. So there was covenants. He says, after this, the man brought me back around to the east gateway. Suddenly, the glory of God of Israel appeared from the east. The sound of his coming was like the roar of rushing waters. Ezekiel tells you, Revelation talks about this water. When God speaks, it sounds like the voice of rushing, voice sounds like the sound of rushing water, thundering. And the whole landscape shone with his glory, shone with his glory. The glory, Revelation talks about this. We will not need any more light, no moon, no sun. Because the glory of the Father and the glory of the Son will lit up the whole place. He said his glory shine all over the whole landscape. This vision was just like the others I had seen. First by the Kibar River, and then when he came to destroy Jerusalem, I fell face down on the ground. See, when the glory of the Lord, we said that, we read that in chapter 44. We read it in chapter 47. When the glory of the Lord comes, you can't stand on your feet. You see, people say, oh, the glory of God is here. Oh, they're running this. When the glory of God comes, man, you feel so weak. You powerful, feel the power, but you're weak at the same time. Because it brings submission. The glory of God called you to submit. It breaks you down. Your knee become weak. You got to fall down. It puts you in a prostrate position. Prostrate position. Then you go in a fetal position where you're worshiping. Because this is the glory. The glory comes. It brings you down to your knees. How can you stand up before the Holy God, before his presence? No, you got to bow. He says, I fell face down on the ground. And the glory of the Lord came into the temple through the east gateway. Then the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. Into the inner courtyard. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Listen, I'm telling you something. Ain't nothing like when you start to bow before the Lord. Hallelujah. When you start to bow, when you repent, and that glory comes, man, you will fall down right there. The glory will come all over you. Look here. Look here. Let me show you. Let me show you. Let me show you. Let me show you. Man. Second Chronicles 7. So now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down with the glory from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Did we just say he said that in Ezekiel? Same thing. Filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worship and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let me tell you something. You cannot stand on your feet. If people say, when the glory comes. When the glory comes, you got to bow. It's very important. Listen, let us go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, you got to put these scriptures together. Second Timothy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some people don't understand how important it is for us to honor God, because the times that we're living is serious times. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We got to get to that place, people. I beg you. I beg you. Let us go there together. Don't leave me behind. Let us go there together. And let us just follow 2 Timothy chapter 3. Listen to what he says. The dangers of the last days. We are in them now. You see the stuff going on? See? Over there in Russia now, they're threatening with nuclear weapons. China is threatening with nuclear weapons. Iraq is getting nuclear weapons. I was up watching a show last night. The man was doing a conference, and he was telling people about how dangerous that the world is right now pertaining to nuclear desolation. And the way he was explaining this thing, it was amazing. I mean, you could have dropped a needle in that place and it would have hit on the carpet and it would have make a sound like a bell. He says, I don't need to disturb you anymore, huh? Because nobody was saying anything. He said, if they shoot off one little missile, he talked about Hiroshima, and he talked about the size of the bomb, the nuclear bomb. And he said, how many thousands and thousands of people died? He said, but the little missile that they had, no, that looked like a bullet. Not for a regular gun, but for one of those big guns. It looks like a bullet, like a little rocket. He said it carries more nuclear destruction than the bomb they released at Hiroshima. I don't know if I pronounced the word right. But anyway, he said if they dropped the bomb over in India or in Afghanistan or Pakistan or Iraq or Iran, any place in Africa, he said from a small city, it would kill, one of those bombs would kill over, he said something like 350,000 people in the first hour. He said, not only will that happen, he said, but even the people down in the Caribbean that don't have nothing to do with nuclear, don't even have a nuclear weapon, and they're thousands and thousands of miles away, will experience in a few days death from the nuclear weapon. We're living in Palestine. Paul says here, he says, you should know this, Timothy. He's talking to his protege. He giving him instructions. We need somebody to give us instructions how to live a holy life. Because things are going to happen that God has already had penned down by the men of old, the holy men, in this book. That these things are going to happen. He talks about it in the book of Daniel. He talks about it in the book of Revelation. He talks about it in the book of Amos. He talks about it in the book of Matthew. He's talking about it in the book of Ezekiel. All over the book, he's talking about it. These things that's going to happen. No, Paul is charging his son, spiritual son. He said, you should notice. I'm reading out the Living Translation. And I got the King James here too. He says, you should know, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. Or you could say perilous times in the book of the King James Version. He says, for people will love only themselves and their money. We see that now. We see that now. We're talking about broken covenants. People have broken the covenants to live, to serve God for the world system. You hear what I'm saying? Put it together. They have reserved their rights to live as they please. They say, this is my life. Paul continues, says here in this new translation, there will be boastful and proud, scoffers of God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. We're saying that right now. Folk don't even want to go to the church building because they don't want to hear nothing about Jesus. They say, I'm not going over there to that church line because all they do is talk about sin. I don't want to hear that. This is my life. If I want to sin, I want to sin. If I'm going to sin, let me sin. This is my life. And then they tell you, well, I can't wait to go to hell. I'll be free to do what I want to. That's what they think. And Paul continues to talk here. And he says, there will be unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. We see this going on right now. People are slandering people coming up behind you. That's why I'll tell my baby, tell me you're going to the gas station, make sure you pay attention. And don't go there in the nighttime going to the gas station. If you want gas, get gas in the morning time. Get gas in the afternoon time. Too much stuff is going on. You're not afraid. You're using wisdom. So, well, why are you afraid? Why is you afraid to let it go? No, I want to use wisdom. If I know that the people come at a certain time of the day to break the bank and stick up the bank and shoot up the bank, why am I going to go? I'm going to go that time. Is it? No, I'm not going to go that time. I go earlier. Use it. As a matter of fact, I didn't even do it. I do all my stuff through the computer. Use some common sense. He says, there's no self-control, no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. Aren't we saying that today? You tell people that they need to repent and turn from sin and receive Jesus, Lord and Savior. They say, I don't want no Jesus. I don't want to hear that Jesus stuff. And when they say, here comes that Bible talking, Jesus free. Here she come. Every time you see me talking about Jesus. Hey, I got a friend in Virginia, Caucasian lady. This Bible I got on my before me right now. It's so old. It's my best Bible, my study Bible. She bought that for me about 20-some years ago. The leaves are dropping out. I wrote that Bible. I mean, the pages don't stick together anymore. But I handle it like a baby, and I cherish that. She put my name on the back in gold, white lady. If you see her, I don't care if she at the doctor's office, if she at the grocery store, if she at the YMCA, because she likes to go to YMCA and soak in the pool. If you see at the YMCA, she telling about Jesus. Do you know Jesus? If you don't know him, can I pray with you? She gonna tell her. She don't care who you are, how big you are, how small you are. Hell ain't gonna say she can talk to you about Jesus. When I met her, I went to do a service on a house that was getting ready to be sold. She's a real estate agent. And our company that we was working with, where we had to go and make sure that all the plumbing, everything in the house was working right there. The stove and garbage disposer, dishwasher, all that stuff. I had to check out all the stuff. But I spent more time in that house with her. She and I ministered to each other, and we became friends. I put her air conditioner in the house. I put her furnace in her house. I put her hot water heater, wall mount hot water heater in the house. She had a carpenter come to refinish her basement. And he took her money and didn't finish the job. I went over there and finished the job, put all the sheetrock up, ran all the electrical wire and all that stuff. She said, Reverend, I didn't know you do all that. I said, yes. God has given me a gift. And when I was young and learning the trade, I picked up a lot of stuff in new construction because I always used to watch the electricians and I used to watch the carpenters. So I know how to replace doors, windows, all that stuff. And I know how to run the wire all through the house. I do all that stuff. So we became very, 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 very close. Her husband was worked for the CIA. And when I get to them house, if I go to Virginia and I go to that house, she'll put on a banquet at the house for me. He said, the Reverend's here. We got to do this. I said, Ellie, you don't got to do nothing. All I want to do is be in your presence, man. That's all I want to be. He said, no. We ain't seen you for so long. We got to do this. You don't got to do nothing. I'm just here. Let us fellowship. And we're going to have church. We're going to have church. But here in this text, let me just go through this. I got a few more. I'll give you one more part of this here, but then let's go through this here. I want to show you this. Paul talking to Timothy. And he tell you how the people are going to become so hateful. They don't want to hear nothing about God. He says they will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. We're seeing this going on in the earth. You got some family members that if you ever tell them about Jesus, they'll get mad with you. They want to fight with you. Why every time you come around, you got to talk about God? Someone said, well, you are not going to come by my house if you're going to talk to me. If you don't want to hear what God, don't invite me. Don't invite me. If you come to my house, I'm going to tell with God. If I come to your house, I'm going to tell with God. So don't invite me. Don't come. You know, because that's what I'm living for. He says, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. You got some folk that have, the Bible says here in the King James Version, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I like the way it said in the NLT. We need to have this a strong spirit of discernment so we can see who really with God, who really on God's side. Some people are only doing stuff because they want to be heard or seen. But we have to have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness continually. This thing has to become first inside of my heart, inside of my mind, and my spirit, man. It has to be in all of us. It's not about just preaching the gospel. It's got to be about living the gospel, become the gospel. When I go sell my car, my neighbors, I'm the only black man on this corner. All the rest of the people around here is Caucasians, pretty much. Way out in the back, you got some African-American live here in the back. But on this corner here where I live on, I'm the only African-American. But when I step out that door, all these Caucasians around here, they respect me. Why do they respect me? Not because I'm a man of God. I show them respect. Because the Bible says if you want to be friends, want to have friends, you got to show yourself friendly. You got to show yourself friendly. If you want people to see that God in you, you got to live godly. If somebody do, you can't get, because somebody come by and do something to your car, you can't go off the deep end, cussing people out and all that stuff. All that you said the last 3 years, bro, God will go out the window. You can't let people take you into their storm. You got to take them into your calm, into your peace. But nobody else, come on, tell me, say, let me just give you a piece of my mind. I'm going to tell you right now. No, you can't do that. Because you've been talking for the last 6 months trying to win these people's soul, trying to win them to Christ. Now somebody else in the same place you're working, somebody at the same job that you go to, that you've been trying to win those tenants to Christ. And now somebody do something, come and buck your car, and here you go on MF and GD and all that kind of stuff. You know the words. All the words that we're supposed to forget about, we start coming up, yes, regurgitating out of your belly. Cussing people out. Ready to take somebody down. Well, you know them people that you've been talking to, you ministering to? They've been hearing what you've been saying. But now they see who you really are. You were professing to be the ambassador for Christ. We were professing to be the ambassador of Christ, but now we are working for the devil. That's what I thought. I thought he was a priest. I thought he was a man. I thought she was a woman of God. A man, look, you hear that stuff coming up? All them people that we were trying to win for Christ is now gone. Don't want to hear no more. Don't want to hear anything else. You got to be observant. He says, they are the kind who work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of the vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teaching, but they are never able to understand the truth. These teachers oppose the truth. Such as Jannes and Jambres opposes Moses. They have depraved minds and a counterfeit faith. They're not the real deal. See? My pastor told me years ago, he says, son, if I spend enough time, he said, I with a person 5 minutes, he said, I could tell you about you because you tell me about you when you open your mouth. Just listen. Sometimes, this is where the spirit of discernment comes in. Sit back and listen to people. A lot of times we want to tell everything. God said, let me just tell you something. We're not hearing from God. And the reason why we're not hearing from God, let me say, and I'm just saying this now. Reason why a lot of people, let me say this now. Reason why a lot of people don't hear from God, because all the time they want to tell God something that God don't know. They want to tell God something that he already know, but they're telling him like he don't know. And God wants to tell them something that they don't know, and they're acting like they know. You understand what I'm saying? God wants to talk to us, but all the time we want to tell God, God, I just got to tell you this. I got to tell you this. Shut your mouth sometime. You go in God's presence, just shut your mouth. See, if you go back in the book of Exodus chapter 7 and verse 11, and around there you will see these two people that Paul is quoting, 11 and 12. And you see that Paul is talking about these people that come against Moses. You're always going to have people that's going to come against you. This is why, even though they get close to you, apostle, oh, they believe they got it together. Paul said you have to pay attention. You got to look. Why? Because they just got a form of godliness. They know the scriptures. They can quote some scriptures, but they're not living the scriptures. You know, somebody said, well, let me give you a slice of fish. You know, I love fish. But, you know, do better if you just teach me how to fish. Now, you give me a fish, a slice, I can eat for a day, but if you teach me how to fish, I can eat for a lifetime. Well, it's the same thing with the gospel. They use this analogy. Now, if you just show me how to live this gospel, now I can live for eternity. You're just telling me some stuff, but I don't see no holiness walk in your lifestyle. He said, but they won't get away with this for long. Someday, everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as with Jannes and Jambres. Go to chapter 4. This is the last scripture I'm going to give you, and I'm going to turn it off to Bishop. Let's do it for 8 verses here. This is what he says. Very, very similar to what Paul was just speaking. He says to Timothy again, I charge thee, verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, the King James Version. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reproof, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Paul says, you got to live this thing and you got to teach this thing. Paul says to Timothy, you got to be ready whenever the opportunity comes to declare the true doctrine. That's what he's talking about. The truth, God's word is the truth. We have to be ready. And there's some people that you're going to have to rebuke. You're going to have to give them sound doctrine rebuking. Don't rebuke anyone out of your feelings, out of your emotions. Rebuke them with the word of God. If you want to get mad at me, go talk to God. Don't get mad at me. Get mad. But go talk to God. Because what I'm saying, God is saying it through me. He says, for the time will come, we just read it over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. They want to have teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. Do you hear what I'm saying? They want to have teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. But we must tell them what they need to hear, the truth. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They have itchy ears, so they don't want to hear the truth. See, because the truth brings conviction. I know what I hear apostles preaching all prophetess or apostle or deacon or somebody preaching the truth. If, not if, in the word something is into me. And something that I hear in the word convicts me. Something that I hear, because why do you say, why are you saying that, apostle? Are you sinning? No, I'm not sinning. I'm not living a lifestyle of sin. But something that I hear in the word convicts me to seek correction from the Lord. I know we are so holy and we so pious because we've been teaching and preaching for 50, 60 years, 70 years. We don't need correction. But I tell you that sometimes I see things on the computer. Sometimes I see things on the TV. Sometimes I hear things on the radio that goes into my ear gate, like the prophet said before. Go into my eye gate. I didn't initiate it. I didn't sit down somewhere today. I'm going to listen to some filthy stuff. But while I'm watching, I'm watching something on the computer, here comes a pop-up. I don't know if you all understand what pop-up is. My granddaughter taught me that years ago. But something will pop up, a commercial or something will pop up that is filthy. But your eyes are like cameras, camera lenses. The moment they pop up your eyes, take a picture. It goes to your soul. You gotta pray against that. No, you gotta repent for that. Because you took the picture. Now you can't tell your ear what to hear. I mean, if I go down the street, I know they're singing all that nasty stuff. And you don't go there, you don't hear. But if you go down there, you can't tell your ear. Ear, shut off yourself. Don't hear the music. You're gonna hear all that stuff, all the cussing and stuff going on in the music, because you're going down there. But if you don't go down there, you're not going to hear it. So that's what I'm talking about. I would have to repent for that stuff. And I hear the come. He said, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, lies, fiction. But watch thou in all things, not some, endure affliction. See, you're going to suffer. We don't want to suffer, apostle. Most of preachers and teachers don't want to go through nothing. They want to have a nice, fine car, live in a nice neighborhood, driving a nice business, having can go to the best restaurants. They all want that stuff. Don't want to suffer with the gospel. Don't want to go through no type of suffering. Folk will cuss you out. You don't know how to cuss them back. Just because you live in the life. Because you made a decision to represent Christ Jesus. And let me tell you, Jesus can set up anybody he wants to. One person come and saw me preaching. He said, I didn't know that he was a pastor. Because, right, we used to smoke so much cocaine again. We smoked that thing called angel dust. That's the imbalance fluid that they got for the, to put it in the dead bed. They put some type of parsley. They soak the parsley, and then they wrap it up like they're rolling the regular marijuana and smoke that stuff, and that stuff make you become insane. We used to smoke that stuff. But when he saw me on the altar preaching in Virginia, he told his mama, is that David? She said, yeah, he's one of the pastors here. He can believe. God can put up anybody. I don't care who you are. God can put up anybody he wants to, any position he wants to. Put you up as an apostle. Put you up as a bishop. Put you up as a prophet, a prophetess, evangelist, apostle. Anybody he wants to. I don't have that authority. But God does. You know how he pulled me out the crack house? Out the whole house? I tell you that every day, every time I get a chance. Why? Because I'm making the devil mad. I don't care who likes it or not. I'm making the devil mad because he can't get me back to that place he had me before. Not Satan. That old slew foot. Listen what he says. Listen, I'm going to give you a little bit more. I know you need some more. He says, but watch thou in all things, enjoy afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of their ministry. Listen, complete the assignment that's been given to you. Don't you stop. The problem is we want to give up because people are talking. We want to join the tunnel. We don't want to fellowship anymore because people are saying this. Let them talk. I don't care what you talk. I know my walk. Talk as much as you want to talk. Say what you want to say about me. I know my walk. I know my stance for Christ. My family know my stance. They saw my change. They're seeing my change. And God knows he's changing me. I'm not there yet, but he's changing me. He said, for I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is that not possible? I'm ready to give up my life for this thing, man. I'm ready to give my life up. We become so protective of our soul when it comes to the kingdom. We'll do everything to get rich. Anything. I'll go any place to preach the gospel because you're going to get a $5,000 check. But let them tell come and go down to the slums of Africa. The slums of India to preach the gospel. I ain't going down there because the people will rob me. I dress up so nice. They got all this stuff. They're going to think I have money. Man, look, the life you save is the life you're going to lose. But if you lose your life for Christ, you'll gain your life. Pastor, I'm ready for departure. He said, and the time for my departure is at hand. He's ready. He's over. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. How much are you keeping? Are you keeping the faith? Or are you just faithful when you want to be faithful? Are you keeping the faith? Henceforth, there is laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And this means all those who live to see his appearing. All those who live. Hey, this living is meaning that you have to live the life to see Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If not, you're going to see him as a judge. And while the judge is going to tell you, depart from me, you work of iniquity. As a king, he's going to say, well done, they get a good and faithful servant. How do you want to see him? Let me give you one quick scripture here. And then we'll do a part six of this. I see the Lord saying this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. Because the word of God is what makes the difference. Not David Callender. not David Callender. The word of God, believe what I tell you. I am burning up right now with the fire of God. And I know when it gets good, it gets me hot. Jesus. Chapter 25 of Matthew, verse 41. Listen to what he says. Then shall they say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now what you see right here, when we live the life that's contrary to the commands, the precepts and the laws of God, we end up here in this place that Jesus is talking about, in Hades, where the devil, he said this place was made for the devil and his angels. He didn't say it was made for the devil and people also. But because of disobedience, hallelujah, many will end up here. I tell people all the time that God did not create hell for people. How do you know that? That's why he sent his son to die on the cross. Because it's not his desire that any should perish. God wants us to come to repentance so that we can be saved. We can have access to the river of life that we talked about yesterday. Now listen to what he says. He says, oh my God, for I was a hunger and you gave me no meat. I was a thirsty and you gave me no drink. And I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they say, then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger and or thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he, Jesus, answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of these, least of these, you did it not to me. Say, you saying the poor. excuse me, we see the poor and needy every day. But we are so clad up. We are so anointed and so appointed and so approved by God that we don't have time to help the poor, to assist the poor, to give to the poor. We only think about me, my four, no more. He said, all these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. It's important. It's important that we validate our ministry, our calling. We must look. Okay? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Whew, Jesus, I tell you that when you get to teach this thing, you just want to keep on because it is so sweet, man. It's so sweet. He says in Isaiah chapter 6, let's start at verse 1. There are a few verses here and we stop after this for real. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He said, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With trains or two, he covered his face. And with train, he covered his feet. And with train, he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. See, this is what it's all about, people. We want to get to this place. This is the place we want to get to. When we get to heaven with Jesus, all we're going to do is worship him. We have to live to go to heaven. We have to live to go to heaven. In your spirit down, look at Ezekiel 46, verse 2, and verse 8, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and start at verse 13 to verse 18. Because why did the Lord give me this scripture this morning? We got to understand that we're going to face difficult times in our walk, in our ministry. We're going to have difficult times. And God wants us to know the first thing he says today in that text, in that scripture. It is so powerful. He gave me this morning, nice and Lord, this is good. He had me paralleling scripture. He said, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. See, as you walk in this walk, read, I tell you, from chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 to 18. As you begin to walk this walk, things are going to happen. We live in perilous times. Things are going to happen. We are not exempt because we are saved and sanctified. We're going to be tested with these temptations. These trials are going to come. People trying to take your life, take my life. We got to understand. We're going to stand at the crossroad of death from time to time. But we can't give in. We can't falter and say, well, oh, let me go hide behind this tree because I don't want to be shot. Man, you got to know you still got to preach the gospel. You still got to live the gospel. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you've given us today. And we pray that we have delivered what you said, Lord. Lord, we didn't add anything to it. We just did it the way you said to do it. And we pray, God, that someone here heard something that somebody would hear, something that when they go on to the blog talk system and they are replaying the system,
that it would take them to another dimension in you. They would take you to a realm, it would take them to a realm of to seek holiness and depart from sin. We just thank the Lord. God bless you all, brother. Bishop, come on in. Do the prayer of salvation. Open the line. Give God glory. If you are there, Bishop. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, Bishop is not answering his phone. So, we just thank the Lord for you all coming on today and hearing the Word of God. Always remember, it's the Word of God that makes the difference, not the If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you an opportunity to receive him now. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So John 3:16. The Bible also said that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, God wanted his family. He wanted his family. And he sent his Son into the world to become the sacrifice for sin, that he might gain his family back. So we always talk about sowing and reaping. And this was the best position or best state of seeing how to receive. God sowed his Son into this earth so that he might harvest his family back. So Jesus gave his life at Calvary, the hill called Golgotha, or the skull. He gave his life there so that you and I would have access to the tree of life. See, without that sacrifice, there would be no forgiveness. You see, without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there's no forgiveness of sin, no remission of sin. So Jesus had to pour out his blood at Calvary. He had to pour that blood out, allow that blood, allow mankind to take advantage of him. He had all power. Remember that. He gave up his earth, his heavenly glory and come into time to experience your pain, your sorrow, my sorrow, all pain, that we'll have access to the tree of life. The Bible says so. The Bible says that men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. And you know that. When you begin to preach about Jesus Christ, you're preaching about the light of God, the light that came in. He says if you follow him, you'll never walk in darkness. So, because he is the light of the world. But men will follow the world because their deeds, their vice is in darkness, that whatever they like. You know, we do all that stuff that we did. We get stoned. We get out of place in the nighttime. Once as soon as the light goes down, we want to go to the liquor store. We want to go to the drug man. We want to go all these places, all these things. We want to go mongering all that stuff when it's the darkness, because that's when the adversary comes out and do all of his dirty work. And men like that. The Bible says that you must repent. and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see that scripture over there in the book of Acts 2 and 38. See, repentance is what godly repentance leads to salvation. So when you get to that place and you truly know that you are going through, you are a sinner in need of a Savior, you'll repent. And I know a lot of people say, well, I got to go to the altar today because pastor's calling for people to come to the altar to repent. They're just going for the pastor, and they're going for everybody to say, the people in the church. They say, well, sister so-and-so went to the altar, she repent. Brother so-and-so went to the altar, he repent. He ain't repent nothing. He's going to do the same thing, doing the same thing later, involving the same foolishness later because they haven't really gone there with the heart of repentance. This thing got to come out of our hearts. Repentance got to come, got to flow out of the heart, you know, which means that I'm doing something that's different. A lot of people say they repent, but they're doing the same thing. If you repent, you stop doing what you've been doing. That's what it means. Turn away from the way you've been going and start going another way. Take a U-turn. Go somewhere else. So you want to be saved. You want to give your life to Christ. You want to just surrender, totally surrender. So we recommend that you, according to Romans chapter 9, verse 9, 10, and 11, the Bible said that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you should be saved. You will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe in him should not be ashamed. See, when you truly believe in Christ, it doesn't matter what the world bring at you. It doesn't matter what the world hits you with. You're not going to be ashamed. Why? Because you know in your heart that you're living for Christ. People are going to talk about, we talk about that in the message. People are going to talk about us anyway because why? We have surrendered. We have made a decision to live for Christ. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, the last book of St. Mark. Let me look at it because I ain't got this one in my heart yet. So, you know, the word you got to hide in your heart. But he says, and he said, Jesus said to them, the disciples, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. See, this is a blessing that he spoke over them. This same blessing is for us. We should operate in this realm that God is saying for the disciples. This is for us. It's for us too. If we get to that place, all of us should be striving to get to that place of holiness, that this anointed power that he says in John chapter 17, he says, Father, the glory that I had with you, I gave to them that they may become one as we are one. God wants us to flow in the glory that he placed for us. Not the glory that we run around and say, well, I did this and did that. That's not that. That belongs to Christ. That's why you hear me say, every time he puts to me, if I preach a word that did not come from him or through the 66 books, don't let me speak another word. Cause my tongue to cleave to the roof of my mouth. I say that because I only want to glorify God. This is my objective. I don't want to be glorified. I got glorified. I got him glory this morning. He glorified me this morning when he came by and woke me up. I was laying in that bed so sweet, and he said, sleep, rest on, son. He said, get some more rest. And then when he woke me up, oh, I woke up fresh this morning. Fresh. I had good sleep. He loved me to sleep. He didn't wake me up early. Hallelujah. So we just thank God for you all that hear the scripture, heard the scriptures. And we pray that you obey the scriptures. Start living the scriptures. You want to live this holy life that we preach and teach about this morning. We're not trying to beat you up with the word. We're just trying to get the word to you. We are just ambassadors of the kingdom. We are spiritual male people. When we're teaching and preaching, and even when we're not teaching and preaching, we're still delivering the word. We're still delivering the message because we are the message that we preach. We are the message that we preach. So we just want you to get this thing inside of you and just take it up and run with it. Take it and run with it. Get the word in your heart. go over the word over and over and over. Spend time in the word of God. Don't just wait till you hear the preacher. Suppose the preacher don't show up. Suppose that for some reason God called the preacher home. What are you going to do? You going to go home with the preacher too? I'm talking about eternal home. No, you got to get in the word. When you hear the word, that's why you write down scriptures. When these other preachers preach, you know what I do? I got much paper. Sometimes when I don't have my notebook, I have computer sheets, and I write on computer sheets, and I got other papers that comes out of manuals, and I put the scriptures down. So I study for myself. I go back and look the scriptures over. I say, Lord, I thank you. I don't know all this stuff, and I'm getting fed by other preachers. But don't ever get to the place that you see you don't need to write the scriptures down. You don't need to. How are you going to get sharper? Earn. We sharpening each other. And nobody got it all. I don't care how long you've been preaching. You ain't got it all together. I don't care how long I've been preaching. I don't got it all together. So I'm learning. I'm learning all the time. You hear the scripture. You know in your heart that you're not right. If God called today, call your number up today. You know you're not right. You know you're not ready to go. You know that if you leave this world today, you wouldn't go with him. If that's you today, you're somewhere in the world. You're in Africa, India, China, Japan, Afghanistan, Iran, wherever country you're in, whatever nation you're in. If you know today that if God called, that you wouldn't be ready, it's you I'm talking to. I'm talking to you. If you know your heart is not ready, if the Savior called today for you to go back with him, that you would end up in hell, you need to pray this prayer with me. Dear the Lord Jesus, I heard the word today, and I'm convicted in my heart that I need a Savior. I need you, Lord, because according to the word that I heard, you're the only one that can give me the right to the tree of life. And today, I want to receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died on Calvary at the cross, a wooden cross, that you were nailed, that you were pierced, you were crowned, that you were abused for my sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, the king for a peasant. I believe you did this for me because you loved me so much. Even while I was sinning, you give your life for me so I could have life. Jesus, I'm confessing with my mouth according to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, 10, and 11. That which I believe in my heart, I believe that you died for me, so I'm confessing it now. And Jesus, I know I need you more than anything else in the world to save my soul. I don't want to go to hell. So I come to you just as I am. Broken, needing to be made whole by you. Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of his agents and the world system, all that it stands for. Today I come with great expectation, knowing that you are the only one that can give me what I need, the gift of salvation. I ask you now, Lord Jesus, to enter my heart. I'm not doing this because anyone has forced me. I'm doing this because I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I ask that you forgive me of my sins according to 1 John 1 and 9, and that you cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Wash me in your blood and make me whole. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I might have the help that I need as I walk this Christian journey. If you just said that uncommon prayer that I believe the Holy Spirit just gave to me, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now what you need to do is get a Bible and this is what the Holy Spirit gave me in 2010. Last night I was listening to a message from 2010 because I couldn't pull up none of the messages for the last 3 days.
So I went and put up a message from 2010, and I was listening to it, and I just was just so blessed, praying for all these people that had calling for prayer from different countries and different states. I was blessed. You read the Bible, study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and then call up your family members, call up a preacher. Tell your family members that you're about to get baptized. Ask the preacher if he can baptize you and when they can baptize you. And make arrangements for baptism, because this is your final stage of your salvation. Now the preacher might say, you don't baptize in Father, Son, I mean in Jesus' name, you're there baptizing Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Don't get mad and talk bad to the preacher, because God might bring you back to that very same building or body of believers to be a teacher or preacher, and that you may even become the pastor of that church. Who knows that building, group of believers. Just tell the preacher, okay, if he said they're baptizing Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and then go seek for a preacher that teaching the truth that will baptize you in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Because I always say you don't want everybody to push you down the water. You don't want everybody, let me tell you, because some folk are living that promiscuous lifestyle and still baptizing people and doing all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? God will still receive you, but you don't want everybody laying hands on you and transferring those spirits to you, okay? And then when you get baptized, my friend, my brother, my sister, get yourself involved in a church or a body of believers where they're teaching and preaching the gospel, the full gospel. You know, not no watered-down teaching, but you want to be in a place where they're teaching something, a message that when you leave the service, that message resonates in your spirit, man, convict you to want to live right. I thank God for those that receive today and those that will receive later, and I pray that God, Holy Spirit, lead and guide you and keep you secure in doing the things that please the Lord. God bless you all. The line is now open for anyone that wants to come on in. Share. Okay. Nobody want to respond. We're praying close out. We done what God called us to do today. I'm satisfied in my spirit, man. So, okay. Father, we thank you and we praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word that you have given us. And Lord, we did what you allow us to do today. God, your word is truly a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. Father, we cannot do anything without your leading, without your instructions. So now, Father, as we leave this line, but not your presence, Lord God, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Father, we ask, Lord, that you bless us in the city, bless us in the field. Bless us when we come, Lord Jesus, and bless us when we go. We are praying that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath. Father, make us the lenders and not the borrowers, O God. O my Father, my Savior, my Lord, my soon-coming King, we ask, Father God, Lord, that you meet us at our point of need, O God. Lord, allow us to be able to bless the poor, bless the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless, the orphans, O God. God, open doors, O God. Give us some jobs, some side work that we can able to go in the field and fix some stuff and install some stuff so we can make some funds, O God, to help out what we are doing here on Blog Talk Radio, Lord God. Lord, don't let my skill go to waste. Oh, God, there's so many people need help. Lord, don't let my skills go to waste. I want to use them for the kingdom, oh, God.
And Father, we thanking you. We praising you, God, for what you have done today and what you will do tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. We ask, oh God, that you continue to watch over these preachers and all of these families that are represented here on this Blog Talk Radio today. Father, we pray for Ukraine. We pray for Russia. We pray for the United States of America. We pray for, oh God, for Kenya. We pray for Nairobi, Kenya. We pray for Tanzania. We pray for, oh God, we pray for Ghana. We pray for Egypt, Syria, Israel, Jerusalem. Lord God, we are praying for Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, and Iran. Lord, we are praying for the nations, oh God, that you show up, Lord God, that you help the nations to come on one accord, oh God, that people stop thinking about taking each other's life and begin to think about extending life, oh God, helping someone to live, giving food instead of destroying, Lord God, that they begin to help one another, Lord God. We are praying today, Lord God, for men and women to come to a greater understanding of how important life is for their brother as it is for them, oh God. And Father, we have praised you. We have glorified you, Lord God, even as we endeavor to leave this line today, but not your presence, oh God. We ask you, oh God, to watch over Bishop Washington and Apostle Washington. And Lord, we pray that you watch over Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart and Brother Deacon Fraser and Prophetess Kershey and her son, Minister Jones. Lord God, we praying for Minister Andira, for Sister Evangelist Sheila, and Evangelist Tina, and Evangelist Darlene Cameron, Evangelist Brown, Pastor Brown, all of these men and women of God, Lord, all ministers and pastors and leaders all over the world, God. We are praying, God, for this a time that we need to really expand, oh God, or pray, oh God, all over the world, for the times are getting very bad, oh God, and it's going to get worse for believers, oh God, in the natural, but not in the spirit. In the spirit, we're going to triumph anyway. We're going to triumph. But Lord, I thank you. I ask you, God, for your strength. Give us strength where we are weak. Oh, God, give us strength where we are weak, Father God. We need your strength, Father God. We need your anointing, oh, God, to make it through each day. And, Lord, we ask you, oh, God, provide for us where we can, provide for ourselves. Lord, all those that are suffering, oh, God, need, don't have fresh water. God, make a way for them to have fresh water. Those that don't have food on the table, God, make a way for them to have food on the table, Lord God. And Lord, we're praying for those that are sick in their bodies, God. We ask you, oh God, to dispatch the healer. Oh, Father, dispatch the healer from heaven. Oh, dispatch the healer to heal, oh God, to heal and restore, God. Raise up the sick in body, oh God. Those that are dying spiritually, Lord, we ask you to raise them up now, Lord God. Raise them up now, Lord God, to see, oh God, the anointing that your son has released from Calvary, oh God, that men and women will begin to reach out and touch the hem of his garment, oh God, and receive the gift of salvation, Lord God, and oh God, receive life, oh God, in their dead bodies, in their dead spirits, Lord God. We are praying right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, for supernatural outpouring of the Holy Ghost in this here country, Lord. Seems like all hell is breaking loose over the United States of America, Lord God, that the people that are in power, the people that are supposed to run the country, Lord God, is going so far to the left, oh God, that they don't care nothing about, they don't care anything about holiness or righteousness, or even to want to have the word to be spoken anymore, Lord God. They're coming against the gospel like the Bible says. But Father, we are not surprised, because you said this in the word, that these times people will come against it. They will come against the word, oh God. They will come against the preacher. Oh God, they will come against the preached word. Oh Father, we just ask this morning that you move in our midst always, God. Oh God, because we can do nothing without you, Lord. We need you, Father God. We need you like never before. We need you like the land. The land need the rain. And the oceans need the water, God. We need you, Father. We need you to show up in our midst and show up always, Lord God. Keep us focused, Lord God. Keep us focused, Lord Jesus. Keep us focused on the things that give glory to your name, Lord. Keep us focused. Lord, let us never lose focus to pray. Let us never lose focus to live. Live that life that give you honor and give you glory, Lord. We thank you, Father God. We thank you and we praise you, oh God. We ask you, Father God, now to have your way. Lord, as we we depart from this line, God. Lord, we ask, God, that you bring an end. Bring an end. I hear you, Lord. Bring an end to this war, Lord God. Oh, God, so many people are going to die, and so many more going to die, Lord God. We just ask you, Father, we pray today that you bring an end to this senseless war. Lord God, and God, you begin to touch America. America is in great need of a touch from heaven, Lord God. We ask you right now, Father God, for you to do it, Lord God. Do it, Lord. Do it, God. If you don't do it, it will not be done. Oh, my Father, my Savior, Lord. Show up in this mess that we have going on all over the world, Lord God. Show up, Jesus. We need you to show up, Lord. Let them know that there's still a God who saves, a God who restores, Lord God. We ask you now this, Lord Jesus. And Father, as you do this, Lord, we're going to give you glory. We're going to continue to praise you. We're going to continue to honor you. Yes, God, we're going to continue to lift up your name, God, because your name worthy of lifted up, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. Well, I got to say bye-bye. Nobody respond, and we're grateful anyway. So talk to you all tomorrow. Have a blessed evening. God bless you all. Bless yours and yours. Bye-bye.